Hello, grandkids, and welcome to what in the first time in a long time we've actually recorded on a WrestleMania weekend.
Yes, well, we recorded, but we had no internet to, or whatever problem. You know what? You may not even hear this, so let's not even get into that sort of thing.
Yeah, Lord only knows how long this thing's going to take to upload. So it may go up the day after NXT TakeOver Dallas. This is, of course, Kevin.
I'm Jeremy. Hello.
So, yeah, we got to attend. Well, it was my first NXT event, despite the fact that there have been a couple in Columbus there. I have not gotten tickets to any of them.
Yeah, this is my first, but then as soon as we get back to Charlotte, we go 2 days later. But I get the feeling, especially after this show, the crew's going to be totally different. I'm thinking the crew's going to be some, well, pretty different. By the results of this, we'll see a different show at least. So
I would imagine that there will be some people moving on. I think it's pretty obvious that Sami Zayn is not going to be on the NXT
Yeah.
roster.
Well, they had that whole, what was it, the Florida show 2 weeks ago, and they said that was his last NXT show until TakeOver.
Oh,
And then
okay.
TakeOver was supposed to be the last. And I know we're not getting to that match or anything, but that we didn't watch that back last night. I would have liked to have heard if Tom Phillips or Corey Graves actually acknowledged, this is his last NXT match.
Oh, yeah,
Because
because they haven't really mentioned that at all during the broadcasts. And we watched most of NXT from this week while we were down here. And yeah, I didn't remember hearing anything during that match build that they had on there because they didn't have either of the guys on NXT itself. They just had a video
Yeah.
package.
Well, they don't generally tend to tell you when a guy's leaving. Like even Kevin Owens, when he showed up, when he was the NXT champion, he lost to Finn Balor, which everyone expected. And then he lost the ladder match was the rematch, right? Right.
Yes.
Even then, they didn't even say that was his last one. I mean, I guess it's just
Oh.
kind of, hey, you know the score. Because Becky Lynch didn't get a last match or anything like that when they left.
Oh, yeah, she was kind of in that storyline of lovable loser somewhat, really.
Still is. I mean, not to go into the Divas Championship match at WrestleMania. That's it. It's just WrestleMania now.
WrestleMania Dallas.
But no, I don't know. So as a live experience, that was a lot of fun. What did I keep saying all night, though? Well, there's a wrestling fan. There's wrestling fans. If there's a criticism of these NXT shows, and this is where Eric Nelson was desperately missed. It shouldn't kill you to take a shower. I'm not even asking you to groom yourself, but come on, man. I know this is an actual live review experience, so this needs to be said. It's embarrassing sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I always question whether people have anything other than wrestling shirts in their wardrobes.
Shirts from 15 years ago and 200 pounds ago. That's
there are those too.
now look, it's like I always preface this with I'm not the smallest dude, but I can get up 20 steps without having to use a chair back at every step to get up them. It's like this is why when you tell someone you're going to a wrestling event, period. NXT was a total encapsulation of why you don't want to tell people you follow wrestling. Because
Oh.
exactly, yeah, I'm going to WrestleMania. Why are you going to that? Okay. I'm going to NXT. Well, what's that? Oh, boy. And they're like, wrestling? It's like, oh. And you know exactly what they have in their head. And we saw them everywhere last night. Everywhere. And, I mean, walking around town, walking around Access, and walking in the arena. If it was an airline, there probably would have been a lot of double tickets. Let's just put it that way. So, I did feel bad about the one person using the chair backs to get up the stairs. Because it may have been some sort of injury.
Maybe I
Okay.
don't know. You never know in that situation, but it was pretty bad. But the crowd was I mean I did enjoy the crowd though. It's Because the last, well, the last Raw I went to was a pretty solid crowd in Columbus. The Money in the Bank before that was even more raucous. So I've at least had some pretty solid crowds the last few shows I've been at. And I do think that there's a fine line between being a bunch of dicks and taking over the show and just kind of cheering for everything going on. And I mm-hmm. think that everyone kind of followed course last night. Yep. Even in the main event, it at least followed the action. You know, it wasn't, they weren't chanting for Corey Graves in the middle of the match.
Yes.
Because they were bored out of their minds.
Well, they did.
Like,
all right, it started off kind of auspicious or inauspicious. I know I shouldn't use words I don't understand. But it was on the pre-show, but it was still when Elias Samson comes out.
Oh.
He starts playing the guitar, which I thought was pretty funny. The sound in there was pretty bad. We couldn't hear anything he was saying.
Well, not just him. The crowd was loud. Most of the people that had, or even the video packages that they were playing, and maybe mm-hmm. it was just this, because, and maybe we should mention this too, we were seated right almost underneath the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
We were just to the left of the entrance. So, I mean, we couldn't see any of it. It might have just been our seating spot, but the sound in general was not good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, not to derail what we were just talking about, but that was one thing. The arena, it was literally round in there. I mean, most arenas are oval. So you've got chances to put up other TV screens or some other enhancement. This was a low ceilinged, it's not an arena. I mean, what was it?
I don't know.
I called it arena, but
like you said, it was perfectly circular.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything oblong about it. So it was a interesting place to view that. I mean, because mm-hmm. what? There were supposed to be about 7,500 people there or so.
Yeah,
I believe was the number.
2,500 of them were outside the concession stand before the event started because there were a lot of empty seats as soon as Apollo Creed and
Apollo Crews.
You know what? I'm sorry. That's an acceptable error. Apollo Crews and Samson were done. Boom. There were no empty seats whatsoever. Well, yeah, no, but they turned on him. One,
oh,
no one likes him.
Elias Samson, yeah.
But then they also start chanting, "We want wrestling." So, or no. Yeah, "We want wrestling." That's what it was.
Yeah.
So that was probably the only time the crowd was out of sorts with the show. Until the main event, which is acceptable. But that arena, yeah, there was nowhere. That lighting rig was so low, there was nowhere to hang like a TV screen. So the people on the side of the entrance could see anything. And there was just nothing. And the sound was going straight from the entrance, straight out to the crowd. So
yeah,
we got nothing.
That's why I was saying it might have just been our seats that made the sound bad. It'd be interesting mm-hmm. to talk to at least our buddy Dan, who was seated across the arena from us, essentially.
I don't know where Steve was sitting.
Yeah, and I don't know where Steve was. It'd be worth asking him just to see how the sound was. But at least in our experience, the sound was not good.
And
it was noticeable with Samson, and it really didn't get any better as the night. Although there wasn't too much mic work either. Outside,
there was no slowdown at all.
Yeah, that was the other thing that, and I guess it was a general criticism that we were talking about last night. It was almost like they could have used a filler match or two in there
mm-hmm.
to let the crowd breathe a little bit.
I think an angle of any sort, even if it was like Eva Marie and Nia Jax coming out, just to get people, you know, to hate them, because we only had five matches, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Five plus the two during the opening.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was part of the problem. I couldn't understand who the first guys were. I know one was from Mexico, and he's the guy that won.
The second guy I know that I have he was the first guy that came out, the white gentleman. I've seen him on NXT before, but I don't particularly remember his name either because they've just used him as an enhancement talent.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's what he served. He served his purpose. I kind of like the guy. Like, I mean, he seems pretty good in the ring. He has a good build to him. Yeah.
Aiden English complexion.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He but just kind of has a plain look to him. I mean, that's really his big problem. He has black trunks, and there's nothing distinguishing about him outside of a bald head.
Yeah. Well, it worked for somebody else, so I guess. which apparently Austin was there. All right. Before we get into the matches, there are some things we just totally missed by not being on TV. They showed Bobby Roode on TV, which we got back and saw.
Yeah.
They showed Scott Hall and Sean Waltman.
Oh.
They were in the crowd.
Okay.
They showed them on camera. They showed Stephanie McMahon.
Okay.
That's when people started booing. I had no idea why they were booing. And then apparently Austin was there watching Bayley and Asuka. But he was back. He was in the back.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know. I didn't read anything, but I don't know if they showed Jim Ross on camera or not. But as soon as he showed up, that place, I think it was during Apollo Crews and Samson.
Yeah.
That place did not pay attention to that at all. They started chanting JR. That might have been another part.
Yeah, those were the only parts when people started to realize when some of those names were around was when some distractions did happen. But, like, even the, because the Jim Ross one sticks out to me, because he was a distraction for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby Roode was one that was a little bit of a distraction, but I believe the video for Joe versus Balor was playing at the time.
Well, no, it had just ended. All right, how it was on here was it had just ended on the stream. It just ended, and then they show Bobby Roode. And I was like, because that was when the whole arena just stood up. I was like, what the hell's going on? Because you can't see the entrance.
Yeah.
And then you could see Bobby Roode just get up. And at first it was as if, because the arena started chanting Bobby Roode, and I was like, wait, is he not supposed to be here? Like, because Jim Ross clearly was not an on-screen, like, a plant, I guess. I can't think of a better word right now.
Right.
But
he's not a stunt granny.
Yeah. But, that's an old callback. Because Stephanie went over and gave him a big hug.
And was talking to him for a couple of minutes, at least.
Yeah, and then she sat in the crowd the entire time. That was pretty nuts. And then, because the entire front row changed.
Yeah, because they did have a section out there, it looked like, for the family. Because, yeah, for the most part, they had someone out there. Although, I don't feel like anybody came out for the second match. Because
Aries? Oh, no, there was somebody in the front row for that, too.
Oh, okay.
That switched out, too. Mm-hmm. There was one point that there was actually empty seats, but by the end of the match, there were people in those seats.
Oh, okay.
And I can't remember which one. But, yeah, you could tell that was Bailey's entire family because they all had I'm a Hugger shirts on. And we were talking about, like, when she lost, like, did she let her family in on the fact she was going to lose? Because the mom, I believe it was her mom, because the older of the group, she was pretty involved. And at the end, she was just sitting there just, like, staring at the ring. I'm like, oh, that poor lady. I don't know if she was told, but... But, yeah, those are, I mean, just some of the on-site observations. I mean, I don't know. To me, like, looking at, because they had Brooklyn in the Barclays Center, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's a big-ass place compared to this.
Yeah.
I don't know where London was.
I'm not completely sure either.
Yeah. What are some of the other ones were in Full Sail. And then, which one am I missing? Oh, did they broadcast last year's WrestleMania one?
I'm not sure that I watched it though, and we'd have to ask Shahid how big that place was that they recorded in, because I really don't remember myself well.
Yeah, that's funny because we were talking about this last night. Like last year, I think NXT was just taken off, and then through the course of a year, I mean, look at the people they've added. I mean, AJ Styles didn't go there, but imagine if he had been. You got AJ Styles, Bobby Roode coming in now, apparently. Aries is there, Joe. All of these guys have been added in the last year. Nakamura, of course, which, you know, he's coming up. Then you got the two Bullet Club members.
Yeah, Carl Anderson, and I would imagine that they'll be there at some point. Although, I guess it'd be kind of interesting just because Doc Gallows has already been on the roster. But I never thought it would hurt. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but I always thought that it would be fun for the WWE to use that as... I always think of it like in baseball where they let the players, after an injury, they let them get their feet back in the minors, and then they bring them back to the main roster. I always thought it would be a cool idea for the WWE to just have people go there right after an injury for a match or two, just to, you know, get some type of interest, but they seem to want it to be its own entity, which is fine, but I always thought that that would be a cool idea.
No, that's a really good idea, actually. I never thought of that. Well, I mean, but they send guys down. I mean, Zack Ryder's part of...
Hype Bros.
Yeah, which somebody was like, that's a cool shirt. I was like, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm not buying a Hype Bros shirt. Which, yeah, it's WWE Superstore, but I'm wondering if we just got there late. Because there was New Day stuff. Unless you were a triple X or, well, an extra large, there was only one extra large, by the way.
Oh,
the rest
man.
Were triples or double extra large. Like, oh boy. Like, how are those not sold out? I mean, you're trying to tell me the smalls are sold out at a wrestling thing? All two of them, I guess.
Oh, boy.
But anyways, so TakeOver starts. Didn't get anything. It was just, all right, here's your opening match. And it was a tag match, which I really wish we did forget to watch for the botched... Doomsday device, I guess, is what they were going for.
It was hard to tell what Dash and Dawson were going for in that one, because really, I believe it was Dawson was the man getting pulling the guy up in the powerbomb type maneuver, because it would have been slightly modified Doomsday device, because he didn't have him sitting just on his shoulders face forward, but it could have been similar, and he's the one that really didn't get the guy up, so Dawson ends up looking like an idiot coming off the top ropes.
Just whiffing, which the reason I started laughing was when this fan started chanting, which one's Dawson, Dawson, which one's Dash. That was pretty funny, actually, and it didn't last too long, but it was still funny.
Yeah.
Because I know you explained it last night, but I forgot already. Who's the guy with hair?
That's Dash Wilder.
Okay, all right, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but now I understand. This was fun, and it was the outcome I think that entire crowd wanted. I mean, if they would have lost, especially after that video package, that place, that would have been deflated immediately.
Yeah, it was pretty wild, and I even thought that on top of that, the crowd was even more behind Gable than they were behind Jordan.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Because almost every time Gable was in the ring, they had people had a chant going for him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was the right outcome. I like Dash and Dawson as a team. They do have some image problems, maybe, but I like the little cheating things that they were doing during the match, because they always kept on distracting the ref, like, in an appropriate manner that I never thought was bad, because they'd almost double team, and then the one guy would get out, and then Jordan would come in to even the odds, and then that would be what distracted the ref. Yep. So, I mean, it wasn't...
It was an old-school match.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see that much. We can't forget when Gable and Jordan... gave them both belly-to-back suplexes. Dash and Dawson just grabbed each other's faces and just looked like, oh, my God. You could see that all the way from where we were sitting. That was great. And I can't believe we forgot. We're watching some dumbass Earthquake movie. We should have been watching NXT again. But anyways, that was great. Like, yo, those guys, their problem will be the image problem. The Usos are not small people. The Dudleys are not small.
Oh,
none of the tag teams are small. So they're going to come out, I mean, unfortunately, looking like runts compared to these guys. if they ever do make the roster, which I'm not convinced they do make in the way they are now, I don't know if their talent's going to be able to overcome their size, especially if Vince is, Vince runs the show. So he's going to look at these plain dudes that are 6 foot tall and go, I don't get this.
So, right.
I don't know.
I mean, we've kind of noted recently how many problems the NXT people in general have had coming up to the main roster.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it would be a tough ride for them too.
Yeah. I think Gable's actually that damn good to overcome it when they inevitably get called up. I mean, it's, and I don't think either one of them, I mean, obviously Jordan and Gable aren't getting called up right now, but I don't think Dash and Dawson, that's in the plans for a while. So they got plenty of time, but
yeah,
no, that was a badass match. I mean, I shot when Jordan finally hit the spear in the corner. That's when I shot on my seat. It's like, this is the end, right? And I don't know. It's like, I think one thing people are going to remember the match is, unfortunately, the end. No, I'm sorry, not the end. Though they will remember the end, but
right.
the missed spot, which right. I think is unfortunate. And then they'll remember the end, hopefully. But there was a whole lot of good in the middle of this. And
yeah, well, and that was kind of funny. We talked really even before the show about how we thought that maybe Zayn and Nakamura would start it. But this ended up probably being the best starter, because you could get one of the title matches out of the way. Because that was the other thing. I mean, they only had 5 matches on the main card, and 3 mm-hmm. of them were title matches.
Yeah.
So it was a nice way to separate out some of the title matches, at least a little bit. There's only so much you can do when you have 5 matches.
Yeah, and it still went over the 2 hours, too, which I think is great, by the way. That's one thing that needs to be said is that having this on the network, they can do whatever the hell they want.
Well,
it's so nice.
And that's one thing that still kind of cracks me up, because it still comes up from time to time. It's almost like, hey, we're running out of time. It's like, you own the network, mm-hmm. guys. Like, you can run over. Like,
yeah.
Football games preempt regular TV shows.
All the time.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like, whatever. Sporting events run over sometimes. It just happens.
But sports entertainment doesn't usually run over. That's where.
Oh, yeah, except when it's Raw. Then it runs over constantly.
Have you noticed, right, a quick aside, have you noticed lately, it's only been going like 7 minutes over, not the 25 it usually does?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, it hasn't actually been bad recently.
Yeah. But yeah, so then after, this was the match that surprised me. Not who won, obviously, but the Austin Aries and Baron Corbin match, people were not solidly behind Austin Aries. Unless we were just sitting in a weird section of the crowd, there were plenty of cheers for Baron Corbin and a lot of hateful stuff thrown out at Austin Aries.
Yeah, he was definitely, I felt like the crowd liked him Aries more, but if you look at it in the scope of the whole event, he was the mm-hmm. baby face that got cheered the least out of yep. all 5 matches. Because yep. even with, and not to get into the match itself yet, but Sami Zayn and Nakamura, Zayn was still getting a lot of cheers, mm-hmm. even though obviously a lot of people were anticipating yeah. Nakamura having his debut. Yeah.
And in your defense, it's hard not to want to talk about the Sami Zayn Nakamura match. So,
well, it's just one of the. I guess it was an easier comparison because Gable and Jordan were huge. You know, they were over.
Oh yeah,
big. And then. So, yeah, then we had the Aries-Corbin match, and then what was... Oh, and then there's Zayn, and mm-hmm. then it was the women's match. So, obviously, Bayley's huge, and Finn Balor is huge, too. Although, again, like honestly, the last 3 matches were kind of split crowds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, Aries probably got the least response, and it was kind of strange that there were still some people behind Corbin, like,
I mean solidly behind Baron Corbin.
Yeah,
and it wasn't just I don't know. We were talking about it last night. Austin Aries, he just presents. I mean, what's his gimmick? The greatest man that ever lived. You know,
right?
How do you cheer for someone that says that? And then he's a smaller guy that's cocky as hell. It's like, people don't generally tend to gravitate towards that.
No.
So, and then you pointed out, he's only had 2 appearances and no matches.
Yeah, he got beat down, and then he had an interview at home. Like, it wasn't even, like...
Baron Corbin ragged on him for it, too.
Yeah. And he rightfully ragged on him, yeah. Honestly.
He's like, because you know what's going to happen if you show up. And basically, that's what happened. He beat the hell out of Austin Aries for pretty much the entire match.
Yeah, and then Aries pulls out a win. So that really did not help Aries at all either. The way that match was laid out.
In a totally unconvincing fashion. It was a roll-up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't... I think that Aries is strong enough. Like, Corbin is more tall than he is big. Like, I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a surprise.
He isn't, like, super thick.
Mm-mm.
You know, he isn't even, like... Well, to go back to the tag match, he isn't even, like, Jason Jordan thick.
Right, yeah.
So, I could see Aries doing his brain buster on him. I would think he'd be able to do that with a little bit of help from Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That wasn't even attempted, I don't think.
Uh-uh. It wasn't teased, and I'm trying to think of what he's used for a submission previously, because I feel like he's used a submission that's just escaping me at the moment.
Well, I think for Aries, and I think somebody in the crowd actually yelled, go back to ROH, Aries. And we were trying to figure out, did he do a cup of coffee in Ring of Honor in between TNA and getting to NXT? I don't remember. But the fact that no one yelled, go back to TNA, Austin Aries, that's pretty astounding. Like, he's been in TNA for 5 years, I think.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
It's been a decent stint.
But yeah, that was just a weird, like, break for me. Because there's Baron Corbin the whole in NXT the whole time, working his way up. This little guy comes in. I'm supposed to cheer for a dude that tells me he's the greatest man that ever lived. I'm like,
other funny thing. I don't know how much he's really mentioned that. Like, I know that he had the one promo, but I'm not sure that he really got
into it. Even
his
entrance video says, the greatest man that ever lived on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there was, like, some hashtag GMEL.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they were going for it.
Okay.
And even that promo he had, he mentioned it, too. He's like, you're going to find out why I'm the greatest man that ever lived. It's like, what?
Who does that? I did a bad job then of paying attention to that promo when it happened.
Yeah, but that's a bad guy thing. Like, just when Chris Jericho did the Nick Bockwinkel, like, I'm the greatest in the world at what I do.
Oh,
that's
a
heel thing to do. So it's like you had
a heel face against the heel.
Then you had two heels. Then you had all faces going against each other. Because, no. I mean, I understand Joe's supposed to be the bad guy, but as we'll get into. There was plenty of cheers for Joe, too.
Well, I do think that it's... I kind of like... Well, and I guess even to move on to that next match, because what more can we really say about those two?
It was just... I know, maybe take flack for it. It was disappointing. I wanted Aries to show something other than that he can sell for the bigger guy. And if he would have pulled off the brainbuster, maybe that would have, kind of smoothed that over. But as it stands, it was just... him getting clowned the whole time, and then getting lucky at the end. Because you even saw Baron Corbin stood right up like, I don't believe that just happened.
Right.
Which is what happened at the end, too. But I don't even know where to start with Nakamura and Zayn.
Well,
how many times can we say this was great? You know?
I guess that's what you were talking about, two baby faces. And I don't know if this is going to change, but it's just kind of funny. What is that? Because they started out with the Nakamura and then the Zayn chants, like going back to back, and then eventually people started saying, we like both guys, or just both guys, both guys. And it was just like, I kind of like getting to, I hope that the WWE itself gets to that point where people are just kind of cheering for. Because to me, that's more cheering for the quality in the ring, because you acknowledge that both of them are good. Even if they're both kind of, Well, at least with Nakamura and Zayn, there wasn't anyone playing a role. Like you said, with Joe, he was definitely the heel.
Yeah.
But people could get past that to just cheer for him.
Yeah. Well, I think when we were talking before, I was like, Zayn has to go first. I mean, he has to be the guy that enters first because that place is going to go ballistic when Nakamura comes out. And yeah, Zayn came out first. He got a huge reaction. I mean,
yeah,
huge reaction. And I expect him to get a popular, you know, cheers and that. Right. That even surprised. And then people started singing the song or like doing the vocalization of the song and then doing the ole. And I was like, oh, all right. Because I figured, you know, most of the time when there's two wrestlers that people like, it's usually this guy gets cheered. I mean, it's totally different.
Right.
And when Nakamura came out, yeah, it was like that, but it was still both at the top. But when Nakamura came out, I mean, and he grabbed the rope and did the lean back, that place went apeshit. It was really, really cool. Yeah, I got goosebumps again even thinking about it. So,
yeah, it was... It was a lot. That match was easily the best of the night.
Yeah.
Just because, and really, we can get into the women's match later, but that might have been our seating was a little bit of a problem for the women's match.
Yes.
And at least the main event obviously got a little waylaid because of.
We had good seats for the main event.
Of Joe's injury, the little mouse his under boo-boo. His eye.
Yeah. Which was self-inflicted, apparently.
Yeah, that's still hilarious.
Yeah. But no, it's not even like the focus on negative of other matches or talk about other matches, but it's like, what can you say about this one? Like it was great.
Oh. Yeah,
thesaurus? I mean,
it was a back and forth match. Zayn yes. didn't get punked out. Nakamura didn't look bad.
The near falls too.
Both Oof. Guys worked really stiff. Like that looked like a fight.
Yeah, and that's what I kept saying. He's got to wrestle Sunday. Like this, and the one that really got me. I think it was a part in the ropes. It was on from where we were sitting. It was a far ropes. Zayn went to do something. Oh, it was Nakamura clearly hit the ropes, but it was when Zayn had his hand. I think it was the head outside the ring.
Oh,
and Nakamura came straight up with like the toes up kick, and the whole crowd went oh, and Zayn just crumbled. I was like, he better hit the ropes because oh my god, that looked terrible. I mean, obviously in a positive way, but yeah, those kicks and like Elise was like, I don't. What's so great about this? It's like, these guys are hitting each other. Like, you don't see this all the time.
Yeah.
Which we got more in the Joe Finn match, but... Yeah, they said King of Strong style, and I'm like, I don't know how that's going to float. Maybe Sheamus will love it, because he's supposed to be the stiffest guy in the ring, but... Which I would gladly pay to see those two animals go after each other. Nakamura and Sheamus?
Oh.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I know some people are like, Sheamus.
I thought you said Shane at first, and I'm like,
no,
Shane?
No.
Like, what?
No, we got Shane Sunday. That's fine. But no, just any of those guys that are clubbing each other, that's always fine with me. But, yeah, and in the end, there was some, like, the Blue Thunder Bomb.
Oh.
I thought that was it. He came down, and that referee was so damn close to hitting, I started jumping out of my seat. I'm like, oh, no, gotta sit back down. Just didn't happen. And... That's why I turned to you. I was like, sorry. It's like, I thought it was it. So
it did seem like it. Nakamura did a great job of just kicking out at the last possible moment. And Zayn was doing that too. Like, they really, I don't know if they had a good view of the ref counting so they knew when to get that shoulder up at just that last moment. But they really did do a great job of making those near falls believable. Because it wasn't like, oh, two and then kick out unless it was early. Those end ones were really cutting it close.
I think that's an NXT thing in general, too. I think the guys in NXT, that must have been a training point. Because a lot of those guys really, like, as the match got longer, the closer they got, like, the longer the match went, the closer those counts were getting. It's like, oh, boy. But, yeah, it ends. People go crazy. Nakamura does his thing. Yeah, him and Zayn did hug, or shook hands, hug, whatever. And it was funny because Nakamura was clearly getting the hell out of the ring to give Zayn the spotlight. Right. And Zayn stopped him. It was like, no. And they raised his hand. But Nakamura never stood up. He was like, nope.
Yeah,
time for me to get out of here.
Yeah,
and just took off. And I'm like, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, even as a new guy, to understand the respect, or obviously he was probably told, you know, this is going to happen. He's
right.
Like, yep, I know. I'm getting the hell out of here. And yeah, that chant at the end for Zayn.
Yeah, everyone started doing ole, and then his music hit again, and everyone started, like you said, vocalizing the music. Yep. They just kind of like. It's not the chorus, but it's just kind of the beat behind it. Everyone just kind of does it. So, yeah it was was impressive.
And the crowd was equally as loud, giving showing Sami Zayn respect for, you know, last NXT match as they were from when he entered the ring. It's like, is as emotionally exhausting as that match got after a while, people still gutted it out and were cheering like crazy. And I thought that was really, really special.
Yeah.
I actually had something else to add on the Sami Zayn thing, and I lost it. But, oh, when they were exchanging the hard forearms in the face.
Oh.
And instead of going yay, boo, it was all yay, yay. And then they were hitting each other so fast, everyone just started, it just turned into a yes chant while they were still just hitting each other in the face. Yeah. Yeah, we should have watched it. We should have watched that.
Oh, well, and
we always got tonight, I guess.
That was another one that was still just enjoyable. That exchange was enjoyable because both of them just kind of died out for a little bit, mm-hmm. too, where they're just like, oh, we're exhausted, and they're just using each other to stay standing up.
You know, it's funny. I think I blew by it, but you said something before that since Zayn was working stiff as well, that was a whole other side of Sami Zayn.
Oh.
Like in his NXT matches, you didn't really get that. Even in, like, the grudge matches with Kevin Owens, you never got that from him. So that was cool, and I was like, you know what? There may be some money in him as a heel down the line as well. If he can hold his own like that, I mean, he's kind of a lovable dude. So, right. You know, not on, like, a Bayley level, but still, he's a solid babyface guy.
Right.
But most of the time, those guys make some pretty killer heels, so... But yeah, this is where I thought there should have been an angle. Not with that match, but afterwards. Even have Kaz and Enzo show up for a few minutes.
Oh.
Just have them talk, have somebody come out and badmouth them, or just something. Because he needed that come down because poor Asuka and Bayley were next. And I say poor because Asuka's reaction was...
Yeah. It was along the lines of that of Aries.
Yeah. But again, it's like, we say this because that's what it was from where we sat. This is why I like the live reviews, like being in person talking about them, because this is what our experience was, to where somebody on the other side of the arena, their section could have been going crazy.
And there were definitely some Asuka's gonna kill you chants and some other stuff that probably...
Queen of Strong Style, the one guy kept trying to get going.
Oh,
cool, they're both Japanese jackass. We get it. Moron. Or the guy that yelled Konnichiwa, bitch, or something. And I'm like, what's that from? Is that Mallrats?
Oh, I don't know. It might have been Mallrats.
It's from a movie.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. It's just not it's not clicking for me right now, though, what it might have been from.
Yeah, but... Yeah, but then when Bayley came out, goofy used car things came up, which I got some cool fucking pictures of that, by the way, because it's just those guys
with
no context whatsoever. It's just these big things flying in the air. So you show someone that, like, where are you?
Why did you take this picture?
What rave are you at?
How much acid did you take?
Yeah.
How much Molly did you take? I got to update my reference.
But yeah, is this redundant? Like, another good match.
Because it all came down, at least for us, like, we were really enjoying the match, and then this is where, again, the seeding came into play, we saw when Asuka got the Asuka lock on, they were in the middle of the ring, and we could see what was going on, mm-hmm. but then Bayley kind of powered out a little bit, stood up, and then Asuka kicked her leg and got her back down. Mm-hmm. And then Asuka's back was to us, so Bayley was facing away from us. And then just to boot, there was the referee was in our way mm-hmm. on top
a lot
of that.
In that match, he was in the way a lot.
So we had no view of what was going on. All of a sudden, we just see the referee going for the bell.
Well, all right. That's when we actually did watch the end of that again. But part of the problem was he kept raising his arms. Like, you're going to give up? You're going to give up? Like, or like, oh, it's close. It's like, and I'm like, okay, cool. All of a sudden, he just his arms are in the air, and he goes like this. Like, moves his hand, and the bell rings, and the whole crowd just goes, what just happened? And maybe, I don't know, maybe this is where we definitely needed a monitor after watching the end of it. Because it made total sense watching it on TV. From where our point of view was, it was just, why isn't she fighting? Like, what's going on here? You couldn't see how she was tangled up. Couldn't use her arms or any of that stuff. So
yeah, because usually Asuka kind of lets the right arm loose a little bit, mm-hmm. and the person uses that to tap out. But Bayley just kind of let it fade, and she just passed out rather than giving up, which is kind of a classic babyface thing to do, too, really. So, I mean, it was something that, at least from our vantage point, didn't come through at all. So you go back and watch it, and they have the right camera angles, and you're like, okay, this makes complete sense.
And you have the announcers there to help it along, too, which I thought Graves and Phillips did a good job with that. But yeah, because when the bell rang, there wasn't much of a reaction. And I guess we'll just preface this. This is all from where we're sitting.
Yeah.
Everyone's just kind of stunned, like, what just happened? Because it wasn't expected, because there was no Bayley to belly, so there was no, close pin there.
Yeah.
And she tried it, but it got blocked.
Yeah, and it wasn't like she went back to the well a couple mm-hmm. of times. I think she tried it once. Maybe twice at most. And then that was it. So it was kind of tough to see that, where was I going with that? I don't know. I guess it was just a little strange. Like, I almost thought that you'd see her go for that more before the finish mm-hmm. came.
Yeah.
Or even just to hit one and have Asuka kick out of that. That look of like, I can't believe this.
Yeah. Well, I guess the ending was weird. I guess it kind of in general, because Nia Jax had her in, I can't remember the exact, was it a Boston Crab or, no, it was, oh my God, what's Rusev's thing? Isn't that what she uses?
Oh, the accolade? No, she doesn't use the accolade. I think it was a Boston Crab or something like
that. She had her in a submission. Let's go that way.
Yeah.
Forever in New England. at the English takeover. And nothing.
You mean Old England? Original England?
Yeah, the old one. The obsolete one. Championships being won there. But no. And she never gave up, never passed out, none of that stuff. With this, and I guess that's supposed to get Asuka over, being that much of a badass. I don't know. I guess, Kevin Owens beat Sami Zayn by just beating him down, and they gave him a title.
Right.
But pretty much everything else has been by pin, or in the ladder match or something. Like, I'm not saying, a submission's not a definitive, doesn't have a definitive winner.
Right.
But without someone tapping, it's always kind of anticlimactic. Because the referee didn't even do the three arms. It was just, well, she's out, good done. Like, you didn't even get that hope spot where as she raised her arm, like, oh, okay, here it goes. And then it falls. I think that would have been, the whole, even a bigger stun moment than just having the referee, who's been showboating it most of the time, going, nope, that's it. It's like, okay, and then it was weird because Bayley just rolled out of the ring and was just laying at ringside. Like, is she really hurt?
And Asuka just goes out and stares at her.
Mm-hmm.
for a while.
No handshake, no nothing.
Yeah, and it didn't, and I guess we didn't watch that. It would have been interesting just to at least see if maybe she did some type of a head nod, acknowledgement, or something like that, that it was a good match. But there wasn't even anything like that, so it was a little strange in the, at least in the context of NXT, maybe not the WWE. Well, but at least in the context of NXT, it was a little strange.
Well, it was clearly an angle because he had the same referee just over-exaggerate, like, no, stay away. And he puts his arm up, no, stay away. It's, oh, my God. I don't even know. I should learn who that referee is, but and he's driving me crazy.
But that was the other thing that was weird. Like, he kept on telling Asuka to stay away, but it never looked like she was going after Bayley either.
Just staring. Like, but it is wrestling, so at any point, I guess she could attack, which would go against the whole, you know, women's revolution sort of thing that are...
Well, and it would go against what Asuka does, really, either. Mm-hmm. Like, she hasn't really done anything heelish. Like, the only thing that she did even similar to that was saving Carmella when Nia Jax and Eva Marie were beating her up after her championship match with Bayley.
Yeah, and that lady just screaming in the aisle. They replay that. It's like, wow. Someone's got to go home to that. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, like, the only time that she did something, it was a babyface type of maneuver to try and help out another babyface.
Yeah, and I think this, and I think what also didn't help the reaction at the end, the crowd was pretty clearly behind Bayley.
I agree.
I mean, as, you know, not that they didn't like Asuka or didn't, I don't want to say respect, you know, what people think, but I think they just wanted Bayley to win, but I was figuring she was going to lose. I think it would have been a bigger exclamation point on the win with a pinfall.
Oh.
You know, because there's always something about counting 1, 2, 3. Like that visual, like, oh my God, there it is. Like, then you can erupt or you can get dejected, one of the two. Instead of the confusion that seemed to be at the end of this. Because that's what a lot of people's going, what just happened? Like, I know, I think I said that before, but...
Right.
You know? And it that, like, the end of that match, it played better on TV, but in person, that kind of started the oddness of the show going forward. Because, there was no break. You had, like, a little video package we couldn't see. And then, all of a sudden, everyone in the arena stands up real quick. So, of course, we did. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then people started chanting Bobby Roode.
Right.
And we can see him in the corner walking off. I was like, well, that's different. Like, okay. Apparently, ProWrestling.net said he was going to be at NXT.
Oh, okay.
On Thursday, they said it. Well, if you don't subscribe to it, you didn't know. So that was pretty cool. Like, okay.
Right. Yeah, I still don't mind a few surprises now and again.
Well, that's what I was thinking that should or would have, could have happened. Maybe this is the fan part of it. Well, even like Enzo and Cass come out and then have Gallows and Anderson show up in the middle of it and be like, well, your run's over here because we're here. Just, you know, something basic.
Right.
Crowd goes nuts because the Bullet Club or whatever they're going to be called there go off. And then you can bring up the rest of the show, you know. And maybe that gets them too hyped.
Oh.
Hell, have Enzo and Cass beat the hype bros up. Just someone to boo them, you know. But that really was the start of the oddness. Like, Bobby Roode just shows up out of the blue.
Yeah.
Walks away. They do the intros. The crowds. Oh.
And that's something else that should be said for the shape of the arena and the layout of the arena is that they didn't have an entrance ramp.
Yes, they did.
Oh, did they? Yes.
When we were walking out, I looked. It was maybe, I don't know, what's it, 6 feet? No. Basketball player, like that wide, and it was or that long, just gradual. Yeah, they had like a whole little NXT thing and a tiny little ramp there. But we couldn't see any of it.
I guess it still seemed like the entrances in general have been more done up at the NXT takeovers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's for
and
sure.
Last night because. Finn Balor, and I guess that's why I started thinking about it. Finn Balor seems to have a pretty grand entrance every time they have a takeover. And it really, at least to us, again, didn't really come out that way because we didn't know that he was carrying a chainsaw.
I didn't know what the hell that sound was. I thought it was like a dry ice machine to kind of blow it out. That's what I, honestly, that's what I thought it was. Because I kept telling Elise, I'm like, this is going to be really cool. Just watch. And his entrance got done. She goes, what was cool about that? I'm like, well, they didn't. Part of the problem was they didn't come across on TV. They didn't shut off or curtain off the entrances. So usually his when he comes in, that arena goes dark, dark.
Oh.
Then the lights come up and there's
go,
him.
And they go down too
yeah.
with the way he does his little
yeah. Well,
pose.
Last night, they without shutting those lights off or whatever, you could see the whole thing the whole time. And it kind of took some of the mystique away. I'm like, well, this was supposed to be cooler than it turned out to be. So
yeah.
Oh well, but yeah, I have no idea why he had a chainsaw. And it looked like a real one too, because there were blades or teeth on the thing.
Yeah, that was really strange.
Yeah.
And
even
yeah.
his paint wasn't all that elaborate too, because usually you said, and it is usually on his back too, right?
Ooh, correct. Yeah, he must have someone put it on his back, but he didn't have anything on his back. And then that was really leads to we didn't really see his paint job before the beginning of the match. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't have a good view of it. So Joe charges at him to start the match, and that must have been when Joe cracked himself open.
He hit himself into the turnbuckle pad. That's the only thing I can figure out. He's bleeding. And then he's bleeding. But to go backwards, when okay. Joe came in, that's the first time I've seen Joe in person.
Oh, okay.
He is wide, like in a big dude way. That was a surprise. He's trimmed up, which we talked about.
Well, yeah, and at least to go along those lines, everyone says, oh, he's 300 pounds. And every time I saw him on TV, I'm like, there's no way that.
He's 285 now, they said.
Okay.
Whatever. Still a lot.
Yeah, that's still a lot, but it goes to what you're saying. Like, even though you could realize he was pretty thick and probably a little bit wider than some people, when I saw him in person, I think this is the first time I've seen him in person, because even when we were going to the ROH shows back in the day,
I
mean,
he was
like,
in TNA already, wasn't
he? I don't remember ever seeing him. Punk was already out,
mm-hmm.
or Punk had just left, I think, when we saw him, even in Detroit. I don't think
Punk was. We'd never seen Punk live.
I don't think that Joe was out of Ring of Honor when we were at WrestleMania 23. I think that's way too early for Joe to be.
I'm trying to think of 27.
At that point, but whatever the case, we hadn't seen him live. So yeah, I think seeing how wide he was. I was like, oh, okay, I can understand the weight. Numbers a little bit more now. Like, it really does not quite come across on TV like it should, even though he's yeah. a very large gentleman.
Yeah, and I know he's probably, you know, the look will get criticized because, you know, he's not exactly svelte.
Right.
But it kind of helped me finally get, like, you know, he's a scary dude. I mean, he does not have movie star looks. He doesn't have like a Randy Orton or John Cena physique. He looks way scarier than both of them. Like John Cena would be like, oh, he's just one of these meathead Boston guys. But you see Joe and you're like, oh, I don't think I want to mess with this guy. And Finn Balor found that out because I was talking to Elise about this at breakfast next to a guy wearing a Lucha Underground sweatshirt. They were going to WrestleCon. I overheard because his girlfriend or wife, whatever it was, goes, so what are we doing today? Well, we got WrestleCon at blah, blah, blah. She goes, what's this again? I'm like, uh-oh, someone didn't tell her.
I heard you say that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I missed out on that fun. But what were we talking about with Joe and how big he was there? Because What did that have to do with WrestleCon and breakfast?
That is a stunner that both of us lost all sorts of things. You know what we were talking about? I figured
you were the one that was making the point, so you're the one that should keep track of that shit.
We have a third in the room. Not she just hasn't said much.
You, him.
Yeah, well, I was trying to blame it on her.
well, whatever the... because
the chainsaw. That was about it.
Yeah.
Well, and we were just talking about how big Joe was, but I guess you were talking about how hard the hitting was to get into the match talk.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay, but, and...
Because we thought at first that, well, A, we were wondering, because I talked about the paint job at first, since we didn't see it, we were wondering if Joe got paint on his face to start.
Yes.
And then we realized that it wasn't paint, because you could just see the black, white, and blue that mm-hmm. Balor was wearing. So it's like, oh, and then... We just, the way Joe started hitting Balor, we're like, oh my god, he must have been the one that cracked Joe to bust him open, because Joe, you could just hear him chopping Balor clearly.
So, you know, for those who saw it, whatever, in person, the referee was our friend in this, because he was out of the way. We could see everything going on, and Joe comes up bleeding. I'm like, oh, he's bleeding. Or, no, yeah, the reaction. And then we realize, no, he is bleeding.
Yeah.
He throws Balor out of the ring. And he knows he's got to buy time, apparently. The referee must have said something.
Yeah.
He threw Balor over the guardrail. That security guy, he did not see that coming whatsoever.
No.
He crashed right on top. And you saw the WWE PR guys just run over there. And then the referees, and this... As annoying as it became, this was funny. The referee tries blotting Joe. Joe just pushes him away. The trainers come out, and Joe's like, all right, do your thing. As the trainers are doing something to him, the referee tries doing something, and he
shushes him
away
too.
Again.
Oh, that was really funny. Just the way Joe was treating the referee that entire time was just a riot,
yeah.
Honestly.
And that was just kind of the beginning of the weirdness. Like, well, not the beginning of the weirdness was Asuka, for us, the end.
Yeah.
And it just continued with this because they kept stopping. And that's why I think this match played out weird for me, because all it was an excuse for Joe, do something bad to Finn Balor, get toweled off. Do something bad to Finn Balor, get toweled off. He was dominating the whole time because he had to.
Oh, right. Yeah, there was no flow to that match. That's why I was a little surprised.
Not until they finally got to stop bleeding.
You know? Yeah. I was surprised that people thought that was a pretty decent match, because just all of that momentum getting killed at the beginning just threw that match off. And then the other thing that killed it for me is I ended up being pretty shocked at how short the match was. Like, it wasn't short, but...
Yeah.
With all of that time wasted trying to patch Joe up, it only was about 13 minutes total,
mm-hmm.
which isn't that long for
that's
the main event.
I read other places saying it was 15 to 16 minutes, and I'm like, I didn't count 16 minutes out of this. And just because they're in the ring celebrating doesn't mean the match is still going. It means it's over. So,
right.
But, yeah, it was hard to get momentum, but it also made Joe look like an absolute killer.
Oh.
Balor would try to do something, and Joe would just push him away, like, do whatever. He would do whatever he wanted, really.
Yeah.
Because they had to keep toweling him off, and that's when the crowd, I mean, we were both saying, this is stupid, just let him go. And I understand, I know I said this 1,000 times last night, Vince doesn't want blood on his shows. Okay, I understand that, cool, you're not allowed to blade. All right, good, that's fine, that's probably better. But if something happens naturally...
Yeah,
if something happens naturally, okay. No.
There is a two-legged dog on the TV now that has prosthetics. That
the dog was walking like this the whole time.
Jeremy could not handle.
No, it's sad and funny all at once. No, I'm not. We're not doing this.
But, you're right. Like, Joe got in more of the offense. I was a little surprised to see Balor use Sling Blade 3 times within the match.
Yeah.
just because most of the times when you go back to the well with a move that is a signature move, really, it gets blocked or someone reverses it. I think Joe might have blocked the first one, but then after that, you know, it things just kept on going, I guess.
Yeah, I think there was yet another point. You even saw Balor get upset finally. That, like, oh my God. Because they were actually in the ring doing something, and the trainers, like, one move happened, and the trainers just came in all of a sudden. And you saw Balor just, like, throw his arms up. This is ridiculous. And yeah. The crowd started chanting bullshit. Let them fight. Let Joe bleed. I thought that was kind of a funny one. And then PG sucks. And then the one, to the credit of the announce team, they didn't acknowledge any of them, which I can't imagine they would be allowed to.
Oh, yeah. It just doesn't seem like something that you should acknowledge either as an announcer.
No. I mean, unless you're on like an underground show or something. I mean, you're allowed, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, but when they start chanting, fuck PG, it was actually exasperation at that point. Like, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they had tried to fix him up so much that I just didn't quite understand why they were still trying to do it.
Yeah. And then, well, also when Balor's, you know, when they're doing the punch and whatever else, he's got to go to the other side of the face and remember so that they don't stop the match again in case he accidentally clips it and busts it open all over again. But yeah, I get it, man. You want, you know, sanitary health reasons, whatever. You don't want that stuff, and especially for your advertisers, because you don't want DiGiorno pizza underneath the picture of Joe bleeding from the eye. I'm pretty sure they don't want that. Because, you know, DiGiorno's only the highest quality pizza, allegedly. I don't know if allegedly was necessary there, but I think you know what I'm getting at. So I get it, but yeah, it really killed the momentum, and then once it started going, it ended.
Yeah, well, and when I was talking to the wife there earlier today, it was one of those things where, to me, if you wanted Balor to have, like, the whole build-up to this match was Balor barely survived the last time around against Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, he ends up getting a cheapy pin.
A fluke.
A fluke pin when Joe still has a move locked. It has the Coquina clutch still applied.
Yep.
And it's just like, that doesn't give Balor a definitive win to go, oh, okay, there we go. We got it. You know, I've beaten the big bad Samoan guy. Yeah. You know, I can move on to a new challenger. It's just like, oh, cheap win. And how do you do, like, a third for Joe going, oh, you just got a cheap win when you've lost twice?
Well, that's what I was expecting. I'm expecting if they do that, which we can get to thoughts for what goes next after. That's where I'm expecting Joe to be like, I was beating you pillar to post, and they kept stopping me. If they wouldn't have stopped me, that would have never happened. That's the only thing I can get out of that, which is why I mentioned, is this part of the angle of the match? Like, did they do this on purpose? But they never played it. Listening to the announce team, they never played up, like how it's messing with the match until Graves, I think the last time, goes, we know all of this has actually allowed Finn Balor to recover every time.
Oh.
So if he would have said that every time, it's something, you know, then there's something you can work with.
But yeah.
I still enjoyed it just because Joe was demolishing him. You say Nakamura's strong style, whatever else. Okay, I want to see those animals go at it then, because that would be great.
Yeah, and this was, speaking of first times, I mean, it's the first time I've seen Balor wrestle, and I mean, mm-hmm. There aren't too many guys where, and I mean, I know that a lot of these guys have had a history outside of the ring. I think it's been the last 3 years I've seen Wrestle Kingdom at least, so I was familiar with Nakamura. Balor was a guy where I didn't ever end up seeing him before I saw him on NXT, and I saw him once, and I'm like, this guy's awesome.
We're bad internet fans. That's why.
I don't. you know, like he's like one of the reasons I want to go to NXT events. Mm-hmm. Just because I really like, that's a guy that I don't normally like cling on to anyone that quickly. And it was just like, oh my God, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
And even though he is a smaller guy, I just think that he's an excellent technician and he's at least good enough on the mic to get through things. So yeah. He's never going to be, well, probably not ever going to be Steve Austin or anything like that. But who is?
Again? Yeah, exactly. That's. Yeah.
If you can get the in-ring and get through your promos well, what the...
You know. I think most of the time now, this is arguable, I think most of the time now they want ambassadors. They want a guy who can go on TV and talk, go to their charities, talk, do their Make-A-Wish stuff and talk. I honestly don't... I mean, because that's money, man. I mean, we were talking about it on the drive over.
Yeah.
You know, people saying WWE's not doing well. Their stock's up, money's up, you know.
Yeah.
So they're doing, something's correct, which...
Ratings might be garbage, but something is going right for them. Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you can always make more if you're doing something that people consider wrong. Elias Samson just showed up. But, no. And that's when you're saying, like, where do they go with Joe and Finn? And then I go, well, what's going to go on with Bayley? What's going to go on with, like, Sami Zayn, all this? And I was only half joking that when we get back that Thursday, the NXT show may look totally different.
Yeah,
But knowing now, John Cena's healthy. He's cleared to return. So, surprise if he shows up Sunday, which I don't know how anyone thought he wouldn't anyways. But then you got Randy Orton supposed to be coming back in April. I believe Cesaro's May. He was scheduled for May. Who else is out hurt? Oh, Seth Rollins.
Oh,
he's
got
to be... sometime soon.
Yeah, I would think that he's at least in the neighborhood.
So, where do all these, like, I'm sorry, what the hell is this? I need to figure out how to shut off these goddamn sounds, is what it is. But,
pull the Kevin and just mute it constantly. you're right. Like, I would think, again, just with the way Bayley ended things, and they're having a triple threat match, because they haven't shown too much for the Divas title at WrestleMania, maybe 32. You know, it doesn't seem like they've shown a lot of faith in the other women to hang with the NXT women.
Mm-mm.
So it just seems to me like Bayley would be one to get a call up just to even it out so that there's four of them so that they can all have good matches again. Even if you want to argue that Naomi should be in there or somebody else should, you know, should have that spot.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and I agree with you, where I think that could have a different look. I think Bayley's probably gone. There's a good chance that Joe could be gone. There's a chance that, like you said, they could just continue this and use that injury as an excuse. Or maybe it was already pre-planned that it was going to be a fluky type win. And
give him a third, but
even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But how do you have Joe lose three times? I mean, unless you're calling Balor up, okay, but it's like, does Joe need?
Oh, and I thought that always gets that's the point that you were getting to with all the people coming back. Like, do you want to bring up someone like Finn Balor
or Joe
with all of those names coming back within the next couple of months?
Yeah. Well, even Bayley bringing her up. Like, I know you just said.
They need to even the odds a little bit.
But also, like, they haven't mixed in NXT women with the other divas. Okay, Natalya would be the one exception. But even then, okay.
Natalya is one of those people that they trust her in the ring, but they don't trust her anywhere else.
No. Sorry, we just stopped going down that roller coaster.
Oh. No, that was all I was going to mention, her.
That was me, because I was like, no, there's no reason. But no, we talked about this before, especially with the women. There's too many for the amount of screen time they get.
Oh.
So you can't even if they really wanted to go out and mix them together, there's literally no time on those shows, because they've got so many goofy talking segments on Raw, and then SmackDown... so much
just, it's filler. Video packages half the time. Yeah, they really could. I mean, they have the time to do it, but they choose not to do it.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, but it's like, so... But really, especially the men, the women... Okay, you got Nikki Bella out. Brie Bella's taken off, apparently. So there's two spots. But when Nikki comes back, you run into somebody. If she comes back, really.
Yeah. It'll be kind of interesting on that front.
Yeah, but with the men, where's the room? Like, there's somebody's obviously going to show up. It always happens after WrestleMania. Something goes on.
Oh, right.
But this year, it could just be somebody returning. Seth Rollins, Cesaro, say he comes back early. You know, just something like that.
Right.
That's all it could be. And then, you know, they don't make as much money in NXT as they do on the main roster. That's just a fact. So you want to get to the main roster. And then maybe you can have, although you did see a bunch of NXT shirts at the Superstore. But
right,
not nearly as many as you did at the other stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, that was a little strange too, as an outside thing, why they didn't have more NXT stuff. Because they just had one.
Yeah, we did forget about that.
They just had one small section at the Superstore because they had because the Hall of Fame members were on one side of like a maybe it was five or six shirts wide with two rows of the or two heights of them, a higher and a lower. And they had the same thing for the NXT stuff.
Yeah.
But that was it. The rest of it was, a lot of it was WWE stuff, and just in general.
Majority was WWE stuff.
And then it was all a bunch of, and then other people's shirts, and then just $150 slammy. And I still can't believe some dick bought a Money in the Bank suitcase.
She said the same thing. Like, just people buying those briefcases? I'm like, I didn't even see how much they were.
As
soon as I saw how much the slammy was, I was like, nah.
I don't care how much that is. It's not worth the money. Like, just give me the money. I will spend it on beer and food, which is better use of it than buying a damn briefcase.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the slammy would have been fun. Just like as a goof to have and just walk around and be like, I'm a slammy, It's
almost like that Only in Vegas commercial where they take the pot and they use it as a trophy. It would be kind of funny for people that didn't know anything about it. Just like, I want a wrestling tournament and just play it up. Like, because most people would have no idea it was a slammy.
I think it's less embarrassing to carry a slammy around than it is your NWO WCW title and your WWE World Heavyweight Championship title. I still don't understand the belts thing.
Oh.
Especially that dude we passed by.
What, that had three of them? Oh, you didn't?
I did not see the guy with three. I was talking about the dude that looked like he was ready to defend those titles if you looked at him wrong. I was like, dude, you know you're not a champion or anything, right? You're just walking around with belts. Like, this, you.
Yeah. There was one guy.
They're tangible, so they're not fake.
On our way to NXT that he had one strapped around his waist. And then he had one on each shoulder.
Oh.
I was just like, give me your money. Like,
Are expensive.
Just give me your money, please. Like, I don't know what you do for a living, but evidently you make way more money than I do. And
by the
I
looks
don't
of some
think
of these
I
people,
get paid
no, they
poorly.
Do not. This is their vacation money for every year. Which is, I mean, that's the way you would choose to live your life. Great, but I don't know. I know how much we spent at Brain Dead last night, so I really shouldn't. You know, at least these people have something tangible. They've got a title belt. I've got a $30 T-shirt, and then the rest of that bill was in my stomach and now in the sewer lines. So I was like, I don't know who's coming out ahead, really.
We are.
Yeah, I haven't been hungover yet. At least
you can guess. I'm not going to guess. But, I think we should probably get around to wrapping this thing
up.
Hey,
honey, look what I won.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I do not want to take that back to my wife.
I'm demonstrating everyone. Just, boom, kick the door in, just pull it up, or do the Bailey thing, just run in. She's just standing there like, you just spent $300 on a title belt? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. You know, you weren't there to stop me. So,
oh man,
That would be really goddamn funny to do, though. Just someone's not expecting it, just barge in and do the Bayley thing with the belt.
If Badre lets me borrow his title belt, I'll take it back to Columbus and then mail it back to him just to see the reaction on the wife's face.
That would be...
Yeah. Look what I bought, hon. It was only $300.
Yeah, unfortunately, you got to spend the money to ship it back.
Out. Now.
Oh, boy. They each his own, I guess.
Yep.
Doesn't mean you're not going to get goofed on for it.
Exactly.
Because we are grown men going to wrestling.
Yeah. Well, and you can goof on me for going to a craft beer bar, too. I don't care.
Mm.
So
that dry hop last night, we could have stayed there all night. No, we couldn't have, because it would have gotten dangerously bad drinking that stuff.
So. Okie doke, grandkids. We have definitely gone over budget for this one, although these live shows tend to do that.
Yep.
So,
good show, man.
For
talk about.
At DeFrango11.
Granny Mays.
At Stunt Granny is the brand. So, hopefully we'll do one of these after WrestleMania, and hopefully this gets uploaded today.
Yeah, this weekend would be nice.